The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey guys, it's Candace.
And it's Elena.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime. How you doing?
I'm good.
What are you enrobed in over there?
You're like a blanket.
It's like a blanket.
A Sherpa on one side. Ooh, and then
that
soft.
Looks so cozy.
It is. It's cold in my closet over here.
It's also cold in my... Let me get my Sherpa blanket, actually, so we can be twins.
Oh, we can Sherpa together.
We can Sherpa. Oh, I'm enrobed.
Are you cozy?
I'm cozy. You know, my fireplace broke, and I'm not very happy about it.
How did your fireplace...
Well, it's a gas fireplace, so you just flick it on, like a switch on the wall.
Uh-huh.
And the other day, I went to flick it on, and nothing happened. Like, there was no sound. Like, the starter didn't go.
Uh-huh.
I didn't smell any gas, so it wasn't working, like, at all. And Daniel opened up the bottom of it, and the box that controls, I guess, the size of the flame or whatever, is, like, melted.
Oh, no.
I mean, I'm laughing. It's not funny, because that's scary, right? It shouldn't be melted. So, anyway, we have to get it fixed. But this is, like, cozy season. I should be, you know... watching Hallmark movies in my living room with the fireplace on.
Exactly. I totally agree.
Anyways, that's...
I don't have a fireplace, so I had to just put a fake fireplace on my TV and pretend. So.
Hey, I used to do that too. I love that. And the crackle of it is so nice. I miss my wood-burning fireplace.
Mm.
Anyways, speaking of fires, the case I have for you today is a dumpster fire. It's just horrible. And it's so horrible that it's going to be multiple parts, unfortunately. This will be part one, and there will be two other parts as of now. Hopefully only two other parts.
But, until you come up with more information.
Well... and I'll get into it as to why there's so much confusion, so much required research. But anyways, today I'm talking to you about the twisted tale of Donald Pee Wee Henry Gaskins.
Okay.
Do you know the name?
The name sounds familiar.
Well, he is South Carolina's most prolific serial killer.
Okay.
And I have lived in South Carolina for 8 years now? Eight? Almost 8 years. No, it's been eight.
How has it been that long?
I know. Isn't that wild? But I only just heard about Pee Wee Gaskins probably a year ago.
Okay.
And I was like, why have I never heard that name before? That's insanity. Yeah. So... he's been in the back of my mind, and I knew this was going to be a really wild one, so I kind of put it on the back burner, but here we are, and here we go. Yeah. I'm just going to do like a universal trigger warning here. Every trigger warning you might need right now, here it is.
Oh, no.
Because this is a rough one. There will be talk of brutal murder, rape, and the victims are men, women, children, including a 2-year-old. So it's just, the horror is lengthy. Let me just put it that way. Okay. I also want to just preface this case, and I kind of alluded to it earlier, but it's so difficult to know the actual truth of the life and crimes of this particular serial killer because he was a manipulative liar. Like, he was just wrapped up in fantasy and the events that occurred. Like, all of that knowledge comes from Pee-wee's own words, pretty much, because we weren't there. His lawyer wasn't there. The police weren't there. So, and you find this in many cases, really, when a murderer kind of recounts the events that happened. Can we ever know exactly what happened? No.
Right.
So I had to really dig deep. The problem with Pee-wee Gaskins, though, is that he's claimed to murder over 100 people.
100?
Yeah. So,
wow.
He claims certain murders. He says he's murdered this person, and he'll describe it. But he's got this fantastical reality, and he's a clear psychopath. So,
obviously.
I had to cross-reference pretty much everything that I found with a book that was written by an attorney called O'Grady Query. He actually represented Pee-wee and one of his associates at one time. And from all the source material I read, this author seems to me to have the most believable account of events.
Okay.
He got to know Pee-wee, and he also knew the facts of the cases, like as far as like in the courts and things like that. So he could kind of suss out the BS from the most believable parts of the stories. And in fact, he was with Pee-wee when he led the police to some of his victims' bodies. So he was actually physically there. So I took this book as more concrete than the other books that I saw. Pee-wee's autobiography, you know, other news reports even. And I know a lot of people are just here listening for like a wild time, and I totally get that, but my scientist brain like is really anal about the researching part, like the accuracy and stuff, so that's why I kind of preface it with that. And just a little side tangent, if I may. That was a side tangent, but like, here's another one, because you know me. The University of South Carolina did a piece on subjective history and how we as like a society believe history is like, you know, you open up a history book and that's what it is. Like, that's what you learn in school and it's passed down and passed on. But like, we're always learning new things, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Just let's take dinosaurs, for instance. Like, we've learned recently that most land-bound dinosaurs had feathers. Like, we just learned that.
Okay.
But everything we knew about dinosaurs growing up, like our little action figures and things, they didn't have feathers.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, right. So we're always learning about history. Anyways, I say all that to say that USC did this piece on subjective history, and they used Pee-wee Gaskins as a subject for that argument.
Oh.
Because, like I said, the record is all over the place when it comes to his crimes, and the article is so interesting. They outlined discrepancies between four major sources. There was news reports, his autobiography, a documentary with Court TV and a book that was written about him by somebody. Mm. And I'll link the article in the show notes, but if you're nerdy, then I think you really like it. But anyways, with all that said, I'm going to do my best. Hold on to your butts, as the guy from Jurassic Park would say. Let's dive in. So Pee-wee was not given the name Pee-wee or Donald Henry Gaskins at the time of his birth, actually, on March 13th, 1933, in Prospect, South Carolina. Sorry, Lena, that you share a birth month with this guy.
Yeah, that is
really
sad.
Really sorry about that. So Prospect is actually a really tiny farming town in Florence County. Very rural, very poor. According to Ancestry.com, he was actually born with the name Donald Henry Jr. Parrott. He was born really tiny, and growing up, he remained very small in stature compared to the other kids his age, and was quickly given the name Pee-wee.
Uh-huh.
Reportedly by a teacher at first, and then the students started calling him Pee-wee.
No.
And sadly, he actually didn't realize that his real name wasn't Pee-wee until his first arrest when he was a teenager.
Oh my gosh.
Like at his court appearance, they were calling him Donald.
And he's like, who's that?
So not the brightest, you know, light bulb. And you start to feel really sorry for little Donald. It's his mother, Yulee Parrott, was a young unwed mother, and she really struggled to provide for Junior. They popped around. Sometimes they lived with her parents, Lewis and Fanny Parrott, on the farm that they owned. And sometimes they lived with a number of her siblings. And I actually read she had anywhere from 7 siblings to 12 siblings. Nevertheless, that's a lot, either way you put it. So as Pee-wee got older, he made inquiries into who his father was. He wanted to know why they were bouncing around from place to place and he didn't have his basic needs met. And this is really wild to me because I think children are really inquisitive, but his motivation for asking that question about his father really kind of foreshadowed his pathology.
Okay. That he would understand that at such a young age.
Exactly. Very interesting.
Yeah.
So his mother ended up telling him that his father was a well-to-do, affluent man in town named Henry Gaskins.
Oh.
And there is record of this. I was actually digging around on Genie.com, which is another genealogy website, much like Ancestry.com. And Henry McLaren? Gaskins? I don't know what that... But anyway, he is actually listed as Pee-wee's father and ex-partner of his mother.
Okay.
So I don't know for certain that that was his dad, but when Yulee was filling out censuses, is that the plural of census? When they were doing their census at the time, she did include his name on there. So I don't know if his name was on the birth certificate or if it was added later. But because of that, Pee-wee adopted the last name Gaskins.
Mm.
And, you know, you think of a psychopath, narcissist saying, oh yeah, my dad is an affluent man about town. I'm going to go by Gaskins now, you know?
Yeah.
So he started going by Gaskins of his own volition. And because it made him feel important, really. And Gaskins was actually the name used in public record. So he didn't actually officially go through a name change. It just kind of
stayed with him. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So in elementary school, teachers reported many instances of animal cruelty.
Oh, that's where it all starts.
They said that he squished eggs out of a bird's nest, and he would trap the mama bird and, like, torture it.
Oh.
One of his teachers explained to Court TV that he once ripped the legs off of a frog, like just one of its legs, to see if it would hop afterwards.
Oh.
Like, he just was experimenting, torturing animals, and this is telltale of a psychopath.
Yeah.
Now, it's important to note that many reports will state that Pee-wee suffered an absolute horrific childhood, as in, like, his mother was sexually abusive, and she was a sex worker, and she would, like, sell him to her clients, and this really is not the truth. This information comes from his autobiography.
Oh.
Yeah, so, now, there's no evidence to suggest that his mother was a sex worker, but Pee-wee was abused by one of his mother's boyfriends, and that was substantiated from, like, the people that were living in the home at the time.
I feel like that is such a common story.
Yeah.
From even back in that day. I mean, yeah. Even in this day, it's such a common story.
Well, and too, his mother, there was no stability there. There was a lot of unpredictability. They didn't have a place of their own.
Right.
She was staying with her parents, then she'd stay with a brother, another brother, and they were kind of like a burden to people. And so his uncles would hit him, you know.
Men take advantage of them.
Exactly. So, like, yeah. His cousins might get, at worst, a spanking if they did something wrong. But he was beat the crap out of.
Yeah.
So, while his mother, it may not have been as bad as he says it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. Now, his mother eventually began dating seriously a nice farmer named Cleburne Stallings, and he moved Yuli and Pee-wee into a little cabin that he had built. It was just not a nice cabin. Like, this guy was not rich by any stretch of the imagination. But in this cabin, Pee-wee found a little storage room. It had, like, a dirt floor, framed walls. It wasn't an actual room. It was, like, a place to put your tools, you know?
Oh.
But he begged Cleburne to let him stay there. He was like, can this please be my room? And the farmer's like, you're funny. Like, you're a funny little kid. Okay. And he was like, why would you want to live there? That's not even a room. And Pee-wee said, well, I've never had a room of my own. Like, at least this is four walls with a door. And I'd rather sleep on a dirt floor and have my own space.
Right.
So Pee-wee liked the privacy. And Cleburne just thought, sure, I'll stay here as long as you want, but you'll get tired of it. Like, you'll want to come into the main house. But he didn't. He stayed in that little shack room thing. He liked being alone. He liked the solitude. He liked coming from bouncing around to different people's houses, sleeping on the floor, sleeping in his cousin's bedroom, sleeping on the couch or whatever, and finally having his own space. But that lack of supervision and the neglect that he caused himself, but also, like, his mother didn't go check on him, that would become a serious problem very soon. Now, Cleburne and Pee-wee actually grew pretty close during this time, and Pee-wee began to respect him. He never had a father figure. He never had someone be nice to him, really, that was, like, a man. He treated his mother nicely. He treated Pee-wee nicely. And he learned a lot about life and the wilderness from Cleburne. And Pee-wee would actually sneak out of his little shack room at night to go play in the woods. He was obsessed with the woods.
Goodness.
Yeah, he loved just being out there. And remember, this guy is really bad. So, like, I mean, as I'm telling this story,
he's not afraid because he is the boogeyman.
He has no fear whatsoever. But as I'm telling this story, you're probably like, oh, he loved the outdoors. He was okay with a shack.
Well, because this is a child we're talking about.
I know. We are talking about a child. And that is what's so hard about stuff like this is when you learn what they went through as a child, it's like your heart goes to a place where you're like, no, I can't go to that place because, like, I can't, that can't excuse what he's done.
Right.
And what he's gonna do in life. But Cleburne would say, like, you can't go out and you can't go out into the woods at night. There are snakes. There are, he even mentioned bears in his book. I don't know about bears in South Carolina. I've never seen a bear here, but, you know, we have gators, we have snakes, we have a lot of wildlife, especially in really rural areas. I mean, it's not safe, especially for a child in the dark with no light source. So he's like, you can't be out gallivanting in the woods at night or during the day, really, even by yourself. So he did get in trouble for this type of behavior, but he loved being in places he wasn't supposed to be. He got a thrill from it.
Right.
And in school, he wasn't a bad student, like, academically. He was actually, I mean, by all accounts, his teachers say he was smart when it came to math and sciences and stuff like that. But he was bullied relentlessly. I mean, he was little.
Right. So, yeah, most little kids are.
Exactly. But his response to being bullied, you would think someone who's bullied would kind of...
shell up.
Exactly. No. He was aggressive.
Okay.
He fought back. He'd, like, throw rocks at their head.
Oh.
He would bite them. He started carrying a knife. And he would cut people. Like, he was just a scrappy little butthole. He just was... he was terrible. Oh, and, like, you know, in his defense, don't pick on me, right? But it wasn't just that people were physically violent with him and he was defending himself. He was going, like, over the top in the wrong direction. This violence that he showed painted a huge target on his back with the teachers at the school because they were like, look, he just called you Pee-wee and you stabbed him in the arm. You know, you can't behave that way. And he basically got a reputation around school for being unhinged. When he was just 11, Cleburne ended up dying suddenly of a heart attack, which is really sad because you have to think this guy was a nice guy in his life. And what if he had lived? You know, what would that have changed what happened in his life? But after Cleburne's death... after all the problems with his teachers, Pee-wee drops out of school at 11. He believed, you know, just better off out in the world by myself. And because Cleburne died, he and his mother found themselves on hard times again.
Oh, man.
And his mother ended up marrying, having two more kids with her husband. And this new guy was no Cleburne. He absolutely beat the crap out of Pee-wee.
Oh my gosh.
After he dropped out of school, he started working at a garage. He was helping to fix cars, but things went south really quick when he met two other troubled young men, just like himself. They had also dropped out of school at a young age. Their names were Danny and Marsh, and individually, they were bad kids, like an infection, if you will. But together, they were... like a disgusting, festering boil on society.
Oh,
they called themselves the Trouble Trio.
Okay, so they knew it.
They knew it, and they didn't care. They spent years burglarizing businesses, residences. They would sexually assault other little kids, boys and girls. They would just wait for kids to walk by. And they would just, like, sexually assault them, steal their money, and say, if you tell anyone, I'm going to kill you. So, nobody told anybody. They started stealing cars. 13. Like, 11, 12, 13-year-olds. And they got away with this behavior for a really long time. Because, like I said, they would threaten these other kids with death. And at the age of 13, he and his two buddies... gang raped Marsh's little sister. Marsh's little sister.
Oh my gosh.
As in, Marsh helped to gang rape his little sister with his two friends.
What in the world?
disgusting. Well, she told her parents. She told her parents.
Good.
She was courageous. Her father tied the boys up, which, yeah. And he beat the garbage out of them until they bled.
Okay.
I mean, these boys were bleeding. And to that I say, yes.
That's what they needed was a spanking, but...
a pig spanking.
But what did
they didn't get the police involved.
Like, Pee-wee's mom, do we know how she reacted to that? Was she just like, no. Okay, he deserved it, or...
You know, the reports are not specific about his mother during any of his crimes.
Okay.
I mean, there is one time when he escapes from prison, and we'll talk about that later, and he goes back home, and she's like, you need to go back, honey. Ugh. But, I mean, as far as all the crimes he committed, she either didn't know about half of them, or just was like, yeah, just, I don't know.
Stuck her head in the sand. Yeah.
Exactly. So, like I said, the parents of this girl did not inform the police, and that was a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Shortly after that, the group disbanded. Danny and Marsh ended up running away. They moved out of the area, and they didn't stay in contact with Pee-wee after that. Well, Pee-wee thought, well, I'll just go into business for myself. Uh-huh. So he started committing home invasions at the age of 13. Mm-hmm. 13-year-olds are dumb, so he was caught at one woman's home, and the girl who lived there actually recognized him from school, and she ran after him with an axe.
What?
when he saw her see him, she started running after him because uh-huh. he took off out the house. And she grabbed an axe by the back door.
Wow.
And was like, you ain't going to break into my house.
Uh-uh.
And I saw one report that said she swung at him and kind of nicked his arm.
Uh-huh.
But that was only one report. But all other reports say that he was able to grab the axe from her. And he hit her in the head with it before fleeing the scene.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Amazingly, she lived.
Okay.
And she was able to identify him to the police because she knew him.
Right.
So he was taken to the police station and put in a cell. Now, the police started connecting other burglaries to Pee-wee and his friends and the sexual assaults. And the authorities were like, wow, you are a bad kid. You, really suck. And you need to change. I don't think prison's going to change you, so they sent him to the South Carolina Industrial School for Boys, which was a reform school.
Okay.
And it's a lot like juvie because there were, cells, and it was very strict.
Okay.
And if he thought he was bullied in school before, it was going to get very, very bad for him here.
I bet.
Yeah. For starters, there were, 4 a.m. wake-up calls. The boys were made to dress a certain way. They were locked up in their cell for hours and hours. They were made to work. And he had to go to class.
Mm-hmm.
He was beat up by other kids, of course. He was beat up by guards. And he was, of course, picked on for being a little shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
And he was raped repeatedly. Sometimes by multiple boys at a time.
Oh my gosh.
He started collecting objects to make weapons, like sharpening a toothbrush, bending a spoon. You know, he would just find anything that he could hide and make a weapon. And he started hiding them in a cell to protect himself, which I would probably do the same thing if I was being, abused so terribly. But most of the assaults took place in non-supervised areas, like the showers. So when he was assaulted, and then he would be able to get back to his cell, get the weapon, and attack the people, he was in trouble for that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Same story kind of like with school a little bit, except for they really deserved it this time.
Yeah.
And Pee-wee was like, I don't want to be here anymore. I'm homesick. I don't like it here.
Yeah.
And it's you can't just leave Pee-wee. Like, you're being punished, sir. You have to stay. And I couldn't find out how old he was when he escaped, but he actually requested to work out in the field one day, and he just ran away.
Okay. Just that easy.
Yeah. And this is when he got home, and his mother was like, you probably need to go back. Like, you shouldn't be here. But she didn't press it. She didn't do anything.
She didn't want to make him mad.
I don't know that she didn't want to make him mad, because he wasn't, by all accounts, he was never violent with her. But I think she just was like, just don't bother me. You know, like, he was running amok around town again, and she was just like, you know, just don't bring your trouble around here, basically.
Yeah.
He was only sent back to the school when him and a friend went fishing one day, and they decided to use dynamite to catch fish. Does Chris ever use dynamite when fishing?
I've never heard of that way of fishing before.
Interesting. I wonder how that might work. Does it just blow the fish out of the water into your boat?
Fish out of water.
Well, sadly, his friend Carl dropped the dynamite and accidentally blew up in his lap.
Oh, ouch.
Pee-wee got him to shore, threw him in the back of his truck, drove him to the hospital, and he died. The authorities, the hospital staff, they didn't really believe that Pee-wee was responsible. It didn't look like it was intentional. It did look like an accident, like it had fallen in his lap. So he wasn't in trouble for that, but he was sent back to school. They were like, look what happened. This is what happens when you're out and doing stuff that's no good. So they sent him packing. He went back to reform school because he clearly had not learned any lessons. When he got back to the industrial school, the bullying resumed. And he was even beaten by guards at that point. And I know I mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
But it got worse because there was a particular guard that was on duty the day he escaped. And he was really pissed off because that made him look really bad. So
it was on his watch. Yeah.
Exactly. And he had it out for him. Now, he lived that particular hell at that reform school for 5 years.
Oh, man.
5 years.
Yeah.
They decided to release him in 1951 on his 18th birthday.
Okay.
Even Pee-wee himself was a little surprised that they were letting him out. He was always in trouble, and the instructors and guards were always telling him, like, what a disappointment he was. But he was like, okay, bye. I guess I'll go now.
I'm out of here.
Exactly. He's like, okay, well, if you're going to let me out, then bye. But he certainly was he was not fit for integration back into society because he immediately got back to committing crimes, and he was caught multiple times, but he was never really punished for it.
Mm-hmm.
He was caught trying to cash stolen checks from a used car dealership at one point, but when the owner found out, he was like, well, I won't press charges if you want to work off the debt for me. And this might have been a really nice thing to do for a kid, for anyone else.
Yeah.
But not Pee-wee.
Yeah.
Not Pee-wee Gaskins.
He sees over and over again that he can just get away with it.
Exactly. And he was so manipulative. He was charming. You know, he had that superficial charm that most psychopaths have. And he was little. And I'm sure people felt sorry for him. At one point, he was sent to like a prison work camp for one of the many crimes he had committed. It wasn't like an actual punishment. He was just detained at times, but he would escape. He was very good at escaping. And you're not going to believe me when I tell you all the times he escaped from prison. You're just not going to believe me. So he just continued to do what he was doing the whole time. In between the criminal activities, he did actually do some work. He did really hard jobs that nobody else really wanted to do, like plowing fields and stuff like that. Dirty, like hard labor. And he did that because it was really easy to get work. Nobody would question his work history or ask for references anything like that. So this was easy for him. But he realized committing crimes was much more lucrative than plowing fields. So he ended up working with farmers for insurance scams. And he started burning down little barns here and there, and he would get paid for it. Like, the farmers would collect insurance, and he would get a little cut of it. He had a reputation with the locals and law enforcement as being just a nuisance. But again, he wasn't arrested for any of that. I mean, they didn't catch him in the act. They just heard rumblings about town. They couldn't really, you know, catch him actually doing any of that stuff. Until in 1952, he'd only been out of reform school for a year at this point. One of the farmer's daughters found out what he had been doing. And she was like, I need to ask you about your involvement with all these fires. And she starts questioning him. And next thing you know, he's turning around, grabbing a hammer, and he split her skull open.
Oh, no.
Luckily, she lived.
What?
I mean.
Oh, my gosh.
Like the lady he attacked with the axe or the girl he attacked with the axe.
Yeah.
She lived. She turned him in anyways, because where the conversation was going was that I'm going to turn you in to the police for these insurance crimes. So he went down for attempted murder instead of just these insurance crimes.
Oh my gosh.
And he ended up getting 6 years for that in prison. Now, you're probably thinking, that's it? That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
Exactly. This light prison sentence was not actually the most shocking thing that would happen, because when Pee-wee went to prison, that's when he would commit his first murder.
Oh my gosh.
And with that, I'm going to have to end the episode.
To be continued.
To be continued. In the next part, I will get to his prison stay. And then in the third part, we'll talk about all the murders he committed after he was out of prison. Oof.
Yeah.
There's really no way to tie up little parts of his life with a bow, because it's hard to tie a piece of crap with a bow, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think that was a good intro into what we're about to find out in the next few couple of episodes. But I mean, it sounds like there were a few pivotal moments in his life that either made him or broke, you know, make or break. And sounds like it's not going to be good.
It's not. And, you know, we always have this question of nature versus nurture. Would he have gone down this road had he had, maybe if Cleburne had lived?
Right.
You know? I think yes, because he has clear psychopathic traits, and that's hardwired. So I think he would have gotten into this kind of trouble anyways. But
would it have been to the extent?
Right, right. Because if you think about, like, Dahmer, his dad was really, I mean, very strange that his father would encourage him to do the taxidermy stuff and, you know, like dissect animals and things like that. But his father really did love him. And Jeffrey Dahmer was like, he didn't want to disappoint his father.
Yeah.
But he still committed crimes. He still cut people's heads off, you know? So anyways, next time we will get into some more nitty gritty. The next part will be coming out Friday, so don't get your panties in a wad. And then part three will be next Wednesday.
Yes.
Maybe. That's our plan right now at the time of this recording. But who knows what'll happen? Who knows? So thanks for sticking in there, and this was great. We're definitely going to do it again sometime.
Yeah, on Friday.
On Friday.
Yeah.
See you then.
All right, guys.
Bye.
Bye, y'all. Well, thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying our podcast, please leave us a 5-star rating so that other true crime fans can find us.
If you have any case suggestions or just want to say hey, email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com. And be sure to follow us on Instagram, where we post case photos and information at Cousins on Crime Podcast.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.